We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. The service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're a part of our congregation today, trusting the Lord will make our entire broadcast a blessing to you. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting the gospel of Christ to this precious people today. We are thankful for the power of the gospel and what it is able to do in hearts and lives. And so we pray the precious Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast today and make it a blessing to each and to every heart. And may you be pleased in all that is said and done. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, Why Jesus Came. And I'll use a few words of the Lord Jesus when he was 12 years of age as a text. I must be about my Father's business. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. The angel of the Lord told Joseph concerning Mary, She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. The name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. As we consider this thought of why Jesus came, I will be bringing a number of verses of Scripture to your attention, for they have the answer why Jesus came. And we will start with Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the inheritance of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now we notice in this passage of Scripture that the verses speak of the government on two different occasions. It is mentioned in this passage of Scripture. And that's not talking about the civil government of our nation or any other nation. When it speaks about Jesus Christ and the government, it's talking about him being the government of his people. For the prophet said, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he is the government of the kingdom of God. So, one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came was to be the head of the church and the government of his people. Now, turning to the book of Isaiah chapter 61, we read here in this passage of Scripture, beginning with verse 1, Isaiah 61, and beginning with verse 1, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That's Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And now, in connection with this passage of Scripture here in Isaiah 61, I would like to read Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, as we look at these scriptures, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, and also Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, we notice that the Spirit of the Lord was to rest upon Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. And the gospel is the good news of salvation. That was the message that the angels had for the shepherds there on the hillside as they were watching their flocks. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the gospel is the good news of salvation. We also notice in this passage of Scripture, to bind up or to heal the brokenhearted. And are there not a lot of people in the world today that are indeed brokenhearted and they need healing? And I do not speak for the moment of physical healing, but they need healing of mind. They need healing of soul. They need healing of their lives. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came, according to Isaiah 61, and also the scripture that Jesus himself read there in the synagogue in Nazareth, as recorded in Luke chapter 4. Also, in this passage of scripture, we notice that he was to proclaim liberty to the captives. Beloved, the truth liberates. Sin is bondage. Yes, sin is bondage. But the truth, the gospel, liberates. I know a lot of people have the idea when they hear the pure gospel preached and that it's bondage, but beloved, that's the only way to really have freedom is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, I say sin is bondage. The truth liberates. And as we go on in this passage, to open the prison to them that are bound. Again, we see the bondage of sin. We see the power of sin, and it is compared as a prison. And Jesus Christ came to open the prison that to those that are bound, to give them a pardon, to give them freedom. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So Jesus said in John 8:36, he was talking to certain Jewish people there, and they said, well, we've never been in bondage. How sayest we will be free? Of course, they were in bondage then to the Romans, but a greater bondage that they were in was the bondage of sin. For Jesus said, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. So sin is bondage. Sin is a prison house. And Jesus Christ came to open the prison and to set the captive free. To them that are bound, he came to set them free. And we read in this passage of Scripture, to give beauty for ashes. Let me read Psalm 149 and verse 9 in connection with this thought of beauty. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. I've said many times in preaching that if you really want to be beautiful, then you need to visit God's beauty parlor. And I'm not talking about some literal parlor somewhere. I'm talking about what this verse of Scripture is talking about. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Yes, living a Christian life, living a holy life, living a godly life is indeed a beautiful, beautiful life. How pure, how holy, how righteous is the person who is in Christ and is living the gospel. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So God beautifies people with salvation. And remember again, salvation is deliverance. There's much sadness and there's much heartache in the world today. But notice what our passage of Scripture that we're referring to in Isaiah 61 and Luke 4 says. The oil of joy for mourning. Yes, Jesus came to give us the oil of joy for mourning. The psalmist said in the 23rd Psalm, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Jesus Christ came to give us the oil of joy in the place of mourning, and he fills our cup to overflowing. He anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many blessings have you received from the bountiful hand of God? The psalmist said in the 103rd Psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who filleth thy mouth with good things, and who restoreth thy strength like the eagles. And so thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalms 23, verses 5 and 6. And he also said he would give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Again, there's much heaviness, there's much sadness, there's much evil, there's much woe in the land. But Jesus Christ came to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And therefore, we need to praise the Lord. The psalmist said, "From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, thy name is to be praised." There's too much murmuring, too much complaining, too much grumbling in the world today. We need to be thankful for all the rich blessings that the Lord gives us. The Lord is the giver of life itself. The Apostle Paul told the Athenians that, as recorded in Acts chapter 17, the Lord is the one who gives to all life and breath, yea, and all things. And it is in him that we live and move and have our being. If you were able to get out of bed and walk about today, or if you're ready to go to bed and the Lord gives you a good night's sleep, you need to praise and thank the Lord for it, for he gives his beloved sleep. It's a privilege, it's a blessing to live in God's world, and a wonderful privilege to live for the Lord. And so he gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now Jesus also came to build his church. He asked the disciples, as recorded there in Matthew 16, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said, "Well, thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and some this prophet and that prophet. But who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came was to build his church. And let me say in passing, he did not say that he was going to build that church on Peter. This idea that he built it on Peter is a false idea. It's a false doctrine. Jesus Christ is the rock. Now, Peter was a stone, yes, and he was a part of the foundation, yes, but Jesus Christ was the stone. He is the chief cornerstone. And when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he was talking about who he was and what he taught and what he was and what his doctrine was. And so Jesus Christ set about, and I might add, he is still building his church. Every time a soul is saved, Christ is just adding to his church, praising the Lord and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved, according to Acts 2:47. So Jesus Christ is still building his church. That's why I am a part of it, because I am a child of God. And if you are a child of God today, it is because Christ built you into his church. The Lord adds to the church daily. And the Lord Jesus said, or Paul rather said in 1 Corinthians 12, that the Lord adds to the church daily those that are being saved, and God places the members in the body as it pleases him. So Christ is still building his church, adding to his church, and God is placing the members in the body. Jesus Christ also came a king to sit on David's throne. Remember, the wise men, when they came some months after the birth of Christ, they came to Jesus and they asked there the rulers in Jerusalem, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And Pilate sought, or Herod rather, sought the wise men of that day, supposedly the religious leaders, where their king was to be born, and they said in Bethlehem. And so the wise men went to Bethlehem and found Jesus not in a manger, but in a house. And they offered him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So Jesus Christ came in the world a king, and he came to sit upon David's throne. "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Pilate, when he was questioning Jesus after his arrest in the garden, said to him, to Jesus, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." In other words, yes, I am a king. "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the throne, or unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." That's John 18 and 37. Now, Jesus Christ is not a coming king, as far as him coming and not being a king until he does come. Jesus Christ came the first time as a king, and Jesus Christ is king now, and he is king over the kingdom of God now. For the kingdom of God is not something out in the future. It's not something of 1,000 years duration. The prophet Daniel was told through revelation there in Daniel chapter 2, about the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. And that stone represents Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And he said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Anywhere you read about the kingdom of God and in reference to time in the Bible, it always speaks of the kingdom as an everlasting kingdom. Never does the Bible speak of the kingdom of God as being of 1,000 years duration. Nowhere can you find that in the Bible. And so Jesus Christ came as king, and he came to sit upon David's throne, and he's sitting on David's throne now. Now let me read Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll see another reason why that Jesus Christ came into the world. Jesus Christ came into this world to take our sins. Reading from Isaiah chapter 53, beginning with verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have returned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And so we see here that Jesus Christ came into this world to give his life, to die upon that cruel cross of Calvary, so that we could be saved. Also, he suffered stripes upon his back for the healing of our bodies, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So Jesus Christ came into this world to do the will of the Father. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to bear witness to the truth. He came to set the captives free. He came to open the prison house. And I would like to say to my congregation today, if you are still in the bondage of sin, Jesus Christ came for you. For the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, and that whosoever will may come. For it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that includes you, dear friend. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. We pray that you'll take the scriptures that we have given you to heart, and that they too shall be a benefit and a blessing to you. Now, our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And we would be thankful if you would take time to write and let us know that you appreciate our broadcast. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to visit our webpage. You can listen to a number of our broadcasts. You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And you can also join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11. And our evening worship service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
I have made my choice forever to make this world.